Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Vietnam Innovators. I'm your host, Hao. Thank you for tuning in every single week and supporting the show. Without you, the show would not be possible. Today's guest is here, based here in Ho Chi Minh City as well. Her name is Lynn. She is the director of the ICS Center. ICS Center does a lot of good work about making sure that this community is inclusive and participates part of society. But I'll let Lynn explain more about what ICS really does. Lynn, before we start with the rapid fire questions, we'd love to hear just a little bit about you and then we'll get into it.
Yeah. Okay. So, my name is Lynn and I have been with ICS since 2015. Really, I'm the director of ICS Center. And we work, focusly on the rights of LGBTI here in Vietnam. So our goal is, hopefully in the future, to have a Vietnamese society that are inclusive and the rights of the LGBT are protected by law and also supported by their families and other allies in the society.
Okay, great. Yeah, I came to Vietnam in 2016, so probably around the same time that ICS started. And I can say myself that in this community in Vietnam with LGBT, things have progressed a huge amount. It's taken time, of course, but it's very different from when I arrived. So a lot of good work has been done in the past. Lynn, let's get started with the rapid fire questions. Keep your answers short. These are designed to be on short form video. So keep that in mind. First question for you is, what excites you about Vietnam today?
Well, I would immediately say it's about, food. Like, Vietnamese food is like nothing to, nothing can compare to. Besides that, I think the Vietnamese society, especially when it comes to LGBT rights, are very special.
Second question, if you had to describe quickly what you do at ICS Center, how would you do it?
I would say I have done almost everything. So I started in ICS as an assistant like a long time ago, and now I'm the director. You could easily imagine that I have done everything from like small details, from paperwork to until now, like running the whole organizations.
Amazing. That's inspiring for hopefully a lot of our young audience here today. What are the changes ICS Center hopes to make in Vietnam?
So we hope to create a society, a Vietnamese society, where the LGBTI community are recognized and supported by their families and allies and also protected by laws. And doing well to achieve that, one of our most important approach is to empower the community to do it themselves.
What's a recent milestone at ICS Center that you'd like to share?
Right after COVID, we were able to organize quite a special event, the Yoga Asia Conference, which is the first LGBTI regional conference in Vietnam, and with a lot of participants from around the world to witness and to discuss LGBTI rights publicly here in Vietnam. So I think it's a very special milestone.
What's unique about the movement here in Vietnam for LGBT?
The harmony. I think it's a very special things and values that we usually consider when we create messages toward the campaign that we are doing. Yeah.
The second to last question is, what's some career advice you'd like to give to someone considering a career in the nonprofit sector?
First, you have to love it. For a nonprofit sector, it's not about money, obviously, but there's a lot of challenges, and there will be times that you think you want to give up. But the only thing that will keep you going is because you love it, because you want to make the change and you believe in it.
And the last question, on a Sunday at 10 a.m., where would you be and what would you be doing?
Recently, I will be at a coffee shop and reading books with a friend or with my partner.
Yeah. Okay. Very Saigonese. So Lynn, we've invited you to the podcast today to talk about this very important topic. And today, of course, is And this whole podcast collaboration we're doing with the Netherlands Embassy mm-hmm. is in celebration of the 50 years anniversary of Netherlands and Vietnam. And one of the pillars of that relationship is equality. So we're working with you today here on the podcast to hear more about what you feel like equality stands for in Vietnam and to understand more about this important topic. So maybe first you can introduce yourself and explain why this is so important to you personally.
So first, I'm Lin Ninh, the director. I'm currently the director of ICS Center. I have been working in this field for, the very beginning of my career, like right after I graduated from university. So that also leads to the next question about like why it matters to me. Well, I think it go back a long time ago when, I was still very young. I started to read books, and one of very special books about like real story of women's in this specific country, where they are not treated equally as other. And just like that child just felt like there's something wrong with the world. I want to change that. But I was just a child back then. I have no idea how to do that. I couldn't see like any roadmap there. And when this opportunity came with ICS work, I volunteered for ICS at the beginning and then was offered a position. And I just felt that, okay, this is it. This is the change, the opportunity that I could make the change I wanted a long time ago.
Let's talk about that roadmap
yeah.
a little bit. Back then, in the 90s, I assume, and early 2000s, that roadmap was not clear. Maybe because society had not accepted women or LGBT as much, perhaps, or just minority groups, let's say. Today, that roadmap feels a bit different. Would you say the same? Is that roadmap there for younger people to better understand acceptance and equality, especially for students today? Perhaps they're just wrapping up their studies and they're wondering, what's that career future for me as, let's say, a woman in Vietnam, for example?
Yeah, I would say it's a totally different scenario now. Mm-hmm. Like back then, like internet was just quite new and not that accessible to everyone. So now I could see that the younger generation, especially even with our volunteers and staff, younger staff, they have access to all kind of information and opportunity in terms of like learning, studying more, or like choosing to do what they want, what change they want to make. So there is a lot more differently, a lot more opportunity and different scenario and increased accessibility to either information or actual opportunity for young people. Yeah.
Very good. And for our listeners who may not be familiar with the LGBT movement in general in Vietnam, could you define what that movement is, like what individuals are involved in terms of advocating for, but also what are some significant moments and highlights that you can share, at least during the time that you've been working at ICS?
So the movement, I would say, is started with the very beginning of ICS in 2008. Yeah, we started that early. I wasn't there, but I know the story.
Okay.
So ICS started as a volunteer group, as one of the very first project of another NGO. That to the goal of the project is to build a group working for LGBTI rights. Everyone joined as volunteer, joining capacity building activities. Have implement their own initiative and ideas, and then we became like that group of like very first pioneer. Now mostly. We would say retired now. So they were leading the movement at a very difficult time. You could probably imagine like more than 10 years ago, you couldn't even read any positive article about LGBT on the internet, on newspaper.
In Vietnamese language.
Yeah, in Vietnamese language. Most of the news, anything you could see, like the way that the media or the public picture about LGBT community was just like criminals in general, like really, really bad people. So it changed, and they, well, but the very like founders of ISIS started the movement in that scenario.
So the founders of ICS were an older generation, it sounds like. And today, you're a director, and you graduated university not even 10 years ago, it sounds like. So it's a new, fresh leadership, a bit younger. The movement is younger, it sounds like. And you mentioned a lot of your staff are
younger as well. Gen Z too.
Okay, interesting. Well, that gives a lot of fresh direction to what to expect, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about different types of equality or LGBT participation. Mm. And I want to focus on the workplace. What does that workplace participation look like today? Especially this, you know, this, the ideas of pride in the workplace, being open about it and having open discussions about it. What are your thoughts on the current state of that here in Vietnam?
So, well, going back a little, like a bigger picture, one of our partners, a research institute, have done two quite big research on discrimination against LGBT in Vietnam. One was done in 2015, and they have just updated and finished in 2022, just last year. So all of the numbers show that school, families, and workplace are the three environments that the LGBTI community experience discrimination the most in Vietnam. So that's also aligned with three of our very big program working on, focusing on those three environments. And the workplace, like you mentioned, are a very important one. You could imagine that, like, the lives of a person growing up, like being born and growing up in your family, being discriminated, and then going to school, being discriminated, and then going to the workplace when you're already an adult, also experience discriminated. So such lives are very common and popular to the LGBTI community. So leading to the importance of creating better environment. Not just the community ourselves couldn't do that alone. We need support from allies. When it comes to the workplace, if the corporation is our colleague, is our supervisor, all of the effort, it needs to be a joint effort in order to actually make those environments really inclusive and safe for not just LGBT, but also other marginalized groups.
I've noticed this as well in Vietnam, at least. A lot of companies that embrace pride in the workplace are typically international companies. And let me explain a little bit why, from what I see. A lot of big international companies, they're headquartered in places like Europe and Australia, perhaps in America, and they have these global mandates for diversity in the workplace. And so obviously all the offices around the world, including here in Vietnam, have the same participation in that idea, that movement. Pride in the workplace. Now, in Vietnam, if we go more specific, do you see Vietnamese companies having that same trend of adoption of pride in the workplace? Why and why not? And I'd love to hear your thoughts about that.
Yeah. Well, I would like to debate a little about your ideas on the, let's say, international company. Even international company working in Vietnam with the majority are of employees are Vietnamese people. Even they have challenges when implementing their own international policies or like inclusiveness in Vietnam. To be able to localize or implement the policy or practices in that they have used in other countries, especially Western country, into Vietnamese or I believe also other Asian country contexts are very difficult for it to actually make a change, be impactful to the community here. Well, we have been working and supporting and hearing stories from companies where they really, really want to do that. Want to use the international policy, want to make it a better environment for LGBT employees, but they have experienced challenges. For example, some have like benefits that provide equal benefits for same-sex couples to other heterosexual marriage couple in Vietnam. Why Vietnam haven't recognized marriage between same-sex people? But for like 1 or 2 years after implementing that, adapting that policy into Vietnamese branch, they have almost no employee going to the HR to claim that benefits. Because I could easily assume that one of the reasons was that because like going to HR and telling the HR that you are an LGBTI or are in a same-sex relationship is scary to a lot of Vietnamese LGBT. And just that alone, like you can imagine in a big company, like thousands of employees, you might not even know, like really talk to the HR person before. But you have to go up there and tell them, okay, I'm a lesbian, I'm a gay person, I'm in a same-sex relationship. It's why I have experienced discrimination throughout my whole life. Like in family, in school, like I mentioned to you, I couldn't do that. I wouldn't be able to do that. Even though the company is really open and want to create a safer place, there's a lot of challenge.
Right, right. So it's not just about like, let's say, you know, companies can say that they have pride in the workplace, but the actual success and implementation and for people to feel comfortable enough to do that, it's not even the company's kind of, I guess you could say, they need allies themselves to actually make that change happen. They can say it, but then how does it actually get done? Right?
Yeah, so, and yeah, well, and yeah, it's not simple.
Okay. Well, yeah, which goes to my next point, which is about what challenges do you continue to see happening in Vietnam? I mean, you mentioned one, like we can say all these things, but how do we actually make it happen? Please, I would love to hear from you about what those challenges are exactly. Well, that's one of them, but love to hear what other challenges we should be aware about.
So I would say usually we will divide it into two different but also very connected part is the challenge on society acceptance, and the second is on the legal protections. Well, in the last 10 years there were a lot of change, quite dramatic change, but in the real world, according to research and number, discrimination is still happening. We usually say it's happening behind closed doors. And these are where it's quite difficult to solve. We need to have a different program. We need to talk to the groups, like families of LGBTI people have different misunderstanding, different issues. In school, teachers have different way of seeing like the issues or understanding the issue of LGBTI students. Similar to that in the workplace, like I also mentioned previously, there are a lot of challenges. It's not just you have a good policy or you put on a rainbow flag for a month, then everything will be solved. It's not
exactly
like that.
Right,
yeah,
right.
There's a lot of effort need to be made, and it's not a thing that you could do for like 1 or 2 years and immediately see the change in the whole environment. It's not like that. And the second thing is about legal recognitions and protection for the LGBTI community here. You could see that I think two of a very big milestone when it comes to the movement here is when we our marriage and family law removed the ban on same-sex marriage in 2014. It was a big change. I think kind of make a lot of headlines that time in 2014. But actually, there is no protection for same-sex couples. So the ban was removed, but there is no actual protections. So in real life, we still have no rights for as a marriage in marriage, like heterosexual couples. So it's still not an equal recognitions. The second milestone you might have heard of in 2015 about our civil code amendment, where for the first time the transgender community are recognized in our civil code, in the law. But in able to implement that right, we need to wait for another law to be created. And it has been, well, until now is 8 years, and we haven't had that law yet. The transgender community is still waiting for that law to be, like, using their right. Well, generally, I think there are positive changes, but there has not been any concrete or sustainable change. Anything that the community, our, like the LGBTI community, could actually use in their real life.
There's one specific note here in my my notes here about the Vietnam Corporate Pride Network. I've seen it posted on LinkedIn before, on some media, and specifically by KPMG Vietnam and some diplomatic missions in Vietnam as well, including the Netherlands. Could you elaborate on the purpose of this network and who's involved, what you're trying to achieve? Because you have ICS already, but this one's very focused on the corporate world.
Yes.
So maybe you can touch upon that as well.
Well, I say one of our main program is working with the corporate sector, and VCPN, the Vietnam Corporate Pride Network, is one of the main activities of initiative of this program. And it was created, first launched in 2021. It was a joint effort of ICES, KPMG, and other consulates. Well, before that, we have been talking like years. Since ICS and KPMG has been working together for years about such network. So we have been, for ICS, we have been doing like training, working, and like understanding the needs and the issues in the workplace, trying to understand it and trying to like listen to what are the challenges and what are the needs of our partners in the corporate world.
And how many people are in this network now?
About the list of members, about 50 companies.
50.
Yep, 50.
How do they participate? Is there some sort of program that they join on an annual basis? I ask these because I'm sure some people might be interested.
Yeah. So at the beginning, any participants who wish to be a member could either join one of one or two of our events and register if they're interested in. Currently, we are developing tools and process like tools that could gather some like very basic data of our members, in order to make sure that, okay, so we understand what are the context of our member regarding the LGBTI inclusiveness at the very beginning. So it's, VCPN is still like in the process of growing, and there's a lot of activities and a lot of initiative that we wanted to do with and for our members. And so, well, in short, now you could just simply join one of our events, request your company's information, and we will send, and in the future, we will send more tools and update and survey that we hope to have, and to have the support and participants of the members. Yeah.
Okay. Talking about, we've spoken a lot about the corporates and how they can get involved, and some may get involved for the wrong reasons, you could say. I don't think anyone has a negative intention necessarily, but sometimes they might not be doing it for a genuine reason. So the topic becomes rainbow washing. We have that term being used quite a lot, like greenwashing and all these kind of things. What are your thoughts about that possible issue coming up?
Yeah, I think that's, rainbow washing is the issue for not just in Vietnam, but it has been a growing issue for many other countries, especially where the LGBT movement are more advanced. So in short, quick explanation is rainbow washing is when someone or some organization use like saying or use the rainbow flag or saying that they want to support the LGBTI community, showing that, but either to have like kind or the like bad thing they do, or to just like fully take advantage of the community without recognizing and tackling the real issue that the LGBTI community are facing. Well, there could be a lot of example. Like, I think it's, I agree with you, it's not I don't think anyone actually wants to do create anything negative or have bad intention, but it's just because they didn't understand corporate or even with individual. Sometimes people just think like putting up a rainbow flag in a specific month is enough, especially with June, like Pride Month, International Pride Month, where the corporate knows a lot about. But not a lot of corporate knows about the local community. Like, for example, like September is where most of the Pride happening here. And now, I believe now a lot of more corporate knows, thanks to your podcast too.
Amazing. hopefully we can go from 50 to 100.
Yeah.
Is that ambitious?
Yeah. Well, I hope we will. I will keep you updated with that.
We're not a corporate. Vietcetera is not a corporate, but can we join still? Is that possible?
I think so. I will.
It should be corporate companies, not corporates.
Yeah. We believe that the corporate have a lot of resources and the power to make change. Mm. Just like putting a little more effort, like getting to know the community. What are we facing? What are we trying to solve? And put your resources into that to help us to solve that faster. Piloting more things, doing a little more research, or actually tackle, like, even with like putting like how you should put the rainbow flag, where you should put it, how you should like putting it with like what kind of caption you should say. Even those small things could make a change if you do it right.
Mm.
It's easier said than done, but we're here to help. Not just ISAS, but there are also other LGBTI activists and organizations that are willing to help. You just need to ask before any campaign or any activities that you want to put the rainbow flag on.
Mm-hmm.
Ask the community, as the activists, as people who have been working with the LGBT community themselves.
We're going to move to the last part of today's podcast, which is about the solutions and what the future outlook can be for this community. We talked a lot about international perspectives. You mentioned you and your team have done research and invited partners from abroad, for example, and Vietnam is unique in its own way in addressing this as well. Could you elaborate how you guys draw on insights from countries like the Netherlands, for example, which is making today's podcast possible, to help inform your efforts here in Vietnam? What have been some interesting case studies, perhaps?
On top of my mind now is because just last month I participated the Amsterdam Pride in the Netherlands. Mm. And while participating in it, it was one of the quite like rare occasion that I could be like the participant instead of the organizer. So I could see two things that I think would like mean a lot as to any LGBTI person. Like first is I saw a lot of support from the groups, the type of people that I think we have been longing support from for a very long time. When I was on the boat, the parade boat of Amsterdam Pride, so I look onto the sidewalk with a lot of people standing on the both of the sidewalk, and at that specific time, I saw a group of old people, like people who are like our like grandpas and grandmas. I think someone told me that that area of the city are where like old people are living.
Sure.
And I saw them like going on the street and waving flags, and I think that's one of the things we as LGBTI community really, really want from our families.
Mm. Like it's a missing, basically.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there, sorry, the side question you mentioned, like, of course, ICS today is managed mostly by younger people.
Mm.
It used to be managed by a bit older people.
Mm.
And then when you went to the Netherlands, you saw people of all age groups are represented.
Mm.
Are the older generations represented publicly in this LGBT movement, would you say, today here in Vietnam?
In Vietnam, I think
not extent?
Yeah. I've seen a few like activities that like gather and some create some like small discussion, internal discussion for like versus like LGBT people who are like in older generation, like in their lifetime there is no acceptance of LGBTI at all when they were young, and they have a very different experience than us, even than you or me. And the second thing I think on the generation representative here is when it comes to the families, like the parents of the current LGBT, for example, my parents or like other like Gen Z staff parents, volunteers parents. So there, we have a group of parents of LGBTI people. We've created in back way back in 2012. Now they have a quite big group, like about 100 members.
Not big enough.
Well, yeah, obviously not big enough, and we want to have more. So I think these are the two representation of older generation, whether the older generation within the LGBT community or the supporter, which plays a very important role when it comes to like family support. And I think their role are very special in the even both in the advocacy work or in and especially in the eyes of the Vietnamese society. Yeah,
I want to go back to your visit to Amsterdam recently, where you, and you mentioned the older generation is represented. Do you have any other takeaways that you'd like to share from that particular experience that perhaps can give perspective to our audience today?
Amsterdam is, well, we all know, a very open city to all of the groups, not just only LGBT. But I could clearly see a lot of recognitions and visibility of LGBT there. For example, I've been to the which is called the Pink Point, where they have kind of like a memorial place to memorize the like the experience that the LGBTI people have been through in terms of discrimination, including homicide and other like things that you would never want yourself or your family need to have to been through.
Right.
So so they have that, like they recognize that there has been bad thing happen. And so from that, they will know that, like, always being reminded not to do that again.
Okay. Yeah. So, like, violence,
yeah,
for example, discrimination of the more extreme types, potentially, and making sure that generations are educated and aware of those kind of things. Okay, yeah, I can see that. Very good. My last question, and then we'll be closing here today, the podcast, to Lynn, and thank you for sharing these insights so far. I'm not too familiar with the LGBT community's activism and work in Vietnam, so it's been very interesting for me. I want to go back to our original part one, which was about the workplace and how it compares to here versus international kind of environments. Do you have any takeaways in regards to that that you've noticed and from when you went to the Netherlands, for example?
Well, I would say the story of the two countries is very different in the progress we made, or the movement, LGBTI movement here is in Vietnam is still very young.
Mm-hmm.
Other countries have like they spend many decades to advocate for this specific topic, like this specific community. But in Vietnam, we just started like a little more than like 12, 13 years ago, and we have made a lot of progress though. I think one of the value that an approach that I really appreciate when working with organization from Netherlands was that they're not like, for example, if we at our home and we can imagine that we have all the rights and life is so good, usually we might forget like what is happening out there. Like there are still people facing discrimination every day. But usually organization from Netherlands is not like that. They see that if the homework is not as equal, it will eventually affect them. So that's why they're not like coming here and like giving money only, but they want to actually make sure that everyone's have the equal rights. And by that, it will also make sure that the movement, the achievement that they make in their own country are also sustained.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's like, it's not about the story of like one specific country or one specific city or a person or community. It's like the whole world. Yeah.
And guys, keep in mind, September is Pride Month here in Vietnam, but it's not just this month. It's all year round, right? This is the time to be participating in this movement. Jilin, over at ICS Center, what should our audience know about in terms of upcoming participation, either this month or the next few months ahead in 2023?
Yeah, as you already mentioned, thank you for reminding everyone about September is a pride, is our local Pride Month. Mm. Well, I have to tell a lot of our partners, like repeating again and again, like this is our Pride Month, and you will see a lot of community activities around this time. So for ICS, we will be coordinating the effort toward Pride in Ho Chi Minh City, but we also have a lot of partners who are organizing Pride around around the country,
okay,
including Hanoi Pride, which is organized by Hanoi Pride Working Group in other provinces. I think the interesting thing about Pride here is, like you could see, if you have time to have experience and go to different provinces, you would see a very all very unique Pride. And it all localized. It's totally different everywhere. And organized by different people, tackle like different needs of each local community. It's a very like diverse picture. So if you have time, not only just pay attention to Pride in Ho Chi Minh City and Hanoi, which are the biggest, but also spend some time going to other provinces and see how lives are for the community there.
Okay, very good. That's something I didn't know, that all around the country there's a different community and kind of culture of LGBT. Anyways, if you're part of those communities all around the country, we'd love to hear from you. Get involved. It's Pride Month, September, but it should be Pride Month all the time, so that LGBT's movement is recognized and aware in Vietnam. For our listeners today who are tuning in, if you'd like to participate more in this program, and this movement, be an assistant at ICS. maybe Lynn is hiring, I'm not sure, but volunteers or otherwise, you can find ICS's information in the description below. And if you're not looking for something new, but you are working in Vietnam, maybe you can do something at your own workplace as well. And we encourage that here at VietCetro as well. Do something, get involved. I'm sure Lynn, you're advocating that all day, and the listeners can take away something from today's podcast. Thank you so much, Jilin, for sharing those insights, and looking forward to seeing the progress happen over the next few years.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, and see you guys next time. You can also check out the video version of this podcast on our other platforms such as YouTube and Facebook. New episodes are out every week, so don't forget to subscribe to VietCetro's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube channel for more interesting content.